Next up, Aaron Korolnik, Carlo Koliakovo. Last night, the Toronto Blue Jays clinched a home wild card series beginning Friday night against one of the Seattle Mariners or the Tampa Bay Rays. Remains to be seen. Seattle has a two-game magic number, so they need a combination of Rays losses or Seattle wins. And you'll see Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, and Robbie Ray in town come Friday evening to discuss that. Aaron Judge's pursuit of American League history, which I'm kind of getting sick of, to be perfectly honest, but never sick of him. It's ESPN's Buster Olney. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, and I think we need to discuss the fan who ran on the field last night in the football game, because it raised a question. I covered the NFL for 1 year. Will Bobby Wagner, the player who knocked the fan down, blasted the fan onto the field, will he be fined by the NFL?
Oh, get out of here. NFL, are you serious?
We know how the NFL likes to issue fines. How will they handle this?
Dude, if the NFL even thinks of fining Bobby Wagner, somebody should be fired, because he should be getting a bonus.
I was going to say.
For what he said.
Yeah,
not fine for what he did. Not fined. I mean, the guy, what are you supposed to do? He helped tackle the guy.
Well, and I'd also say, Buster, it wasn't like a violent. Bobby Wagner knocked him down, but he could have, you know, taken a piece off that guy. Instead, he kind of just jostled him over with his hit with his forearm. It could have been a lot worse.
Okay, Aaron, let's be honest about things. You're saying it wasn't that violent. Yeah, if you and I were at the other end of that, it would feel pretty violent. But I would say this. Here's what I believe. They're going to send him a strongly worded letter, and then off the record, they're going to send him a gift basket with champagne and say, off the record, thank you for doing that, for discouraging idiots from doing what that guy did, but we can't. The lawyers in our office insist that we send you this letter to CYA.
Well, they could do that, or they could hire him as the new neuro doctor in the NFL, too. Because they clearly botched that one. But anyways, Buster, that was quite the scene yesterday, and quite the scene to wake up to here in Toronto this morning, because the Blue Jays clinched the top wild card spot, something we all hoped that would happen. It did happen. Now they have a chance to set up their rotation and what their playoff lineup is going to look like. How advantageous is this for the Blue Jays right now?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. They're probably, if you were to list in baseball the places that you don't want to be the visiting team to go and visit because of the atmosphere, because of the intensity, the crowd, the noise, Toronto would be right in the top three for me. And so it is a big deal, I think, to get this in the first round. I love as they've brought in this new playoff format this year, I love the fact that they put so much emphasis on home field, that, there's not the, in a three-game series, not a situation where you go 1-1-1 or 1-2 in terms of which team is a home field. I love the fact that the Blue Jays get to host, the Cleveland Guardians get to host all three games. And I do think it's going to be a factor. We'll see how good the Mariners pitching is, assuming that they're the team that the Blue Jays are going to face. But I think it's a huge deal. And it's a way, if you're the Blue Jays, potentially, it's a great way to launch into the postseason.
Buster, with regards to the Seattle Mariners, I would expect, and you would know better than I, that you'll see Castillo, you'll see Logan Gilbert, and probably Robbie Ray as their top three. With regards to the Toronto Blue Jays, however, we've been debating this. We know that Jose Berríos signed that seven-year, $131 million deal last year. People viewed him as a key cog to the rotation for those 7 years, most certainly. Has not had the greatest season by any stretch. The Jays will go Alek Manoah in Game 1. I think most people believe it'll be Kevin Gausman in Game 2. And then you're kind of wrestling with the idea of Jose Berríos or Ross Stripling for Game 3. Do you go with the upside of Berríos or the consistency of Stripling in your estimation?
Well, I would go with Ross, because I think he's been the more consistent pitcher in how he's performed. And when you get to this time of year, I do think that the back of, what the numbers on your paycheck shouldn't matter. And that should not be a factor. I was talking with Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, about the choices that he made in the World Series last year in the playoffs. where, you know, they had a surplus of outfielders with experience, you know, Jock Peterson and Eddie Rosario. And Snit basically said, it's really easy. Whoever's going the best, that's who you go with. And to me, it's Ross Stripling. Now, I would say this, you know, Stripling has more experience coming out of the bullpen than Berríos does. You know, maybe that's something that you think about. But I personally think that in terms of choosing which guy, it would be based on how they pitched in the last couple months, and I think that's Ross.
We're in conversation with ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney here on First Up. Tell us about the Seattle Mariners, Buster. We're East Coast guys, as are you, but you cover baseball all over North America, so you know the Mariners organization a lot more intimately than Carlo and I do. What is the state of this team right now, and is there a certain X factor that Jays fans should be looking for if they do indeed face Seattle?
Well, there's no doubt they are riding the adrenaline of making the postseason for the first time in 21 years. If you guys saw the celebration, you know, led by their manager, Scott Servais, standing on home plate, you know, screaming to the crowd, hey, you know, let's party tonight. They've waited a long time for this. You know, if you made a list of frustrated franchises, you know, I mean, for years we talked about the Red Sox, and then it was the Cubs. I think, you know, Cleveland probably is at the top of the list. I think Seattle would have been second because they've actually tried to win. You know, a lot of times with tanking teams, you're going a lot of years, it's because the team really didn't try. Well, they've had Felix Hernandez and Ichiro, and they've had high payrolls, and they haven't been able to win.
Well, they signed Robinson Cano too, Buster, remember?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and they've tried to win. So for them to get through after 21 years, that's excellent. I would say that their equation for success as we come down the stretch is pretty fragile. Like, they basically have to pitch really well, and they're capable of doing that. Castillo, you know, has in moments looked completely dominant since they acquired him from the Reds. Logan Gilbert's excellent. You know, Robbie Ray, you guys know from last year. And think about this. I mean, if you're facing the Blue Jays, you've got to try to keep the ball in the ballpark. They have a group of five key relievers who've had 54 plate appearances in September, zero home runs allowed for that group of five. So they can do well. I think the X factor is going to be Julio Rodriguez, their rookie outfielder. He just came off the injured list last night. He had a back strain. He is a dynamic talent. I think I told you guys a story about how at the Home Run Derby, you know, he had an amazing first round, put on a show, and Mookie Betts passed by him carrying Mookie's daughter, and he stopped and said something to Rodriguez, and I just asked him, you know, what did you just say to him? And he goes, you know, I told him to keep it going. And then Mookie looked at me, and he goes, you know, I'd never seen him in person until today. And he goes, oh, my God. Like, this guy is someone we're going to be talking about for the next 15 years. He's a transformational talent, and it's pretty clear he loves the big stage. So in this series, if you're the Blue Jays, you're circling him and you're saying, we can't let that guy beat us, because they don't have a lot of big boppers around him. They'll hit some home runs, but it's not a very good offense.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see if that's who they finally play, because I think Seattle and Tampa still have to work things out. But yep. Exciting morning for Blue Jays fans. You mentioned big stage, Buster, and the guy that's on the biggest stage right now is Aaron Judge. Yeah. He hit his 61st home run against the Blue Jays in Toronto. I don't know if you've seen the story, but somebody sold a bag of air from the Rogers Center for $270 from that game. Ridiculous.
I bought that, Buster. I'm happy with my purchase, but
he's got three games left, stuck at 61. He's been in a little bit of a slump since hitting 61. What side of the fence are you on? Do you think he finds a way to get to 62?
I do. I don't know if you guys saw last night, Tony Beasley, who's the interim manager for the Rangers, told reporters last night there will be no, and he held up four fingers, none of this during this series. They're not going to intentionally walk him. They're going to go at him. I felt, you know, watching that game last night that the Rangers did go after him. He's going to have opportunities to hit, and I do think he'll get it done. I'm sure that, you know, that they want, they all, I'm sure, want to get it done. Not only for Aaron to move in and get his place in history, but for everyone to move past that. Like, if you're the Yankees right now, you have a lot of big concerns, especially their bullpen. And I'm sure they're going to want the focus to be on trying to figure all that out. They had a great sign last night. Luis Severino, who's been hurt a lot of this year, threw 7 no-hit innings. Aaron Boone took him out after 94 pitches. That's a great sign. It is a great sign for the Yankees that he threw well last night, because the rotation, I think, is, if they're going to make a run, and I have my doubts about that, if they're going to make a run in October, it's going to be based on the strength of that rotation because of all the concerns with the bullpen.
So, Buster, the next time we speak with you, I guess it'll be next week, next Tuesday, the wild card round will have come and gone. So this is the perfect opportunity to get your thoughts on a couple of wagers that Carlo and I can make here on FanDuel. If you had to bet on one team to win the World Series, who would it be and why?
No doubt about it, the Atlanta Braves. I saw them over the weekend. Yeah, we had, and they would be the first team in Major League Baseball to go back to back since the '98 to 2000 Yankees. And I must say, a common denominator between those two teams is how their postseason experience has become a weapon. You know, I had a conversation with Brave shortstop Dansby Swanson about this the other day, and just asked him, "Hey, you know, compare what you guys were experiencing and what you felt that when you started all these playoff appearances, which is like back in 2018, to where you are now." And he talked about how it's become part of their DNA and how they have an expectation to not only win games, but win at a high level. And you could just feel their comfort level, their ease over the weekend as they swept the Mets. Basically, you know, it was a seismic shift in the postseason field, because the Braves, who looked like they were going to finish second in the National League East and have to play in the wild card round, they blew past the Mets in the National League East. They're likely to clinch today in that division. They're playing great, and they have a great rotation. They have a tremendous bullpen. They have a really deep lineup. Think about this number. Since June 1st, the Braves have hit 179 homers. That's the most in baseball. That's 34 more than the Dodgers. It's 62 more than the Mets. Wow. Like, this is a team up and down the lineup. They can hit home runs. I absolutely think that they're going to find their way through. I'm picking them to face the Astros in the World Series, repeat of last year, and to win the World Series again.
What are the odds on them to win the World
Series?
Well,
I'm looking at it right now, as you can imagine, Coco. Atlanta is 5-1 to win the World Series. The Jays are 16-1. So.
Wow.
I know Atlanta, the third best odds behind the Dodgers and the Astros. And listen, I look at the odds makers and I listen to Buster only. You know who I'm siding with. And it's not the odds makers. It's our buddy Buster from ESPN. Thanks so much for doing this, Buster. Next time we speak next week, it'll be the Jays and the Astros.
Yeah, setting up that series. Let's go.
Exactly.
That'll be fun. That would be a fun series. All right, guys.
Thanks,
see ya, buddy.
Buster. Again,
happy
Buster
Thanksgiving
from ESPN.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
And he doesn't celebrate that. That's in November for
okay,
for
so I meant to ask you, like, I'm a Canadian. I celebrate both Thanksgivings.
Well, you also lived in the U.S. for a long time.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So do you celebrate or even care about U.S. Thanksgiving?
U.S. Thanksgiving, of course I do, because I sit and watch NFL on Thursday afternoon for the entire day. As far as Canadian Thanksgiving, I have a tradition of my own with my buddies. Swiss Chalet.
Oh my God. So
Swiss
glad you said that. So
Chalet.
I had Swiss Chalet.
We are going
on
to do
Sunday.
Some work this week.
So they have the festive meals now at Swiss Chalet.
I did not
know
this.
We ordered Swiss Chalet on Sunday, and
like for your NFL show?
Yeah, like for our NFL show. So a couple of buddies of mine got the festive meals, and I just ordered soup and chicken wings. I had no idea that Swiss Chalet can sell soups by the liter. So
you
it's
got
like
a liter of soup?
So they're basically three soups into one big liter. Because I love the chicken soup at Swiss Chalet.
It's outstanding.
It is the best.
So good.
And I was just like, you know what? I don't really feel by polluting myself with like an enormous amount of food.
Okay.
I just want something that's going to like just keep me at ease. And I just
so you want like 100 grams of sodium is what you're talking about from the soup at Swiss Chalet.
Sure.
I
only ate half of it. I took half of it home.
I do love the Swiss Chalet soup as well. It is incredibly expensive relative to what you get I mean, I'm sure the leader of, I'm sure it's probably like $20 for your liter of soup.
I don't know if it was that much, but okay.
You get like a little like tin of Swiss Chalet soup. We're talking way too much about Swiss Chalet. They're not even a sponsor. You know who is a sponsor? Our good friends at Rodex, the Rodex Tires, Cal Tire. We love them. Again, the First Up Survivor Pool, 372 entries remain. And make your picks for week 5 because you want to be eligible to win those Rodex tires with free installation from Cal Tire and 2,500 cash. Coco, I think you're the only member of the First Step team that are still alive.
No, 20 Fingers still alive.
Is 20 Fingers still alive? Oh, I'm rooting for 20 Fingers to win. Yeah. And I'm rooting
Silent Bob to lose. Silent Bob.
Yeah, 20 Fingers. I mean, he already owns a home. Does he really need to win the First Step Survivor Pool as well?
Of course he does. He needs a new set of winners, man. This guy drives into studio every day.
That is a good point.
Every day.
He is the true hustler. He might be wearing a new t-shirt as well today. I've not seen that piece from 20 Fingers before. Looking good, Chrissy. Looking good. Frankie Corrado will join us in 10 minutes' time.
I bet he's a big soup guy.
Frankie? Of course. Italian wedding all day.
Italian
that's,
wedding.
That's what Francesco consumes before rounds of golf would be my guess. But, yeah, Frankie will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll look back on last night's 5-1 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Matt Murray was really, really good. Can't overreact. Just a fact, he was really good last night. Congratulations to Matt Murray, who's had a really strong camp and strong preseason. But perhaps the story of last night and the camp as a whole for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Nick Robertson, who scores 3 points last night, or puts up 3 points last night, and he's been on fire. So kudos to Nick Robertson, who on a line with Kerfoot and Nylander performed really well. So we'll get to that with Frankie Corrado as First Up continues after this.